Good morning. Good morning. Happy Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to our good Father in heaven. Amen. You know, sometimes when we think about Father's Day, we think about people naturally. But I think sometimes we should stop and think about the Father. Our Father, the one true God and Father. Today I want to continue talking to you about faith. We've been on this for several weeks and different aspects of faith. Last week we talked about generosity and tithing and those things. Today, you know, there's no easy faith. That's the series title. Faith takes work. And today I want to talk to you about faith and working out your salvation. I'll get back to that in a minute. Faith is not stagnant. That's something we have to understand. Faith is not stagnant. It's not something that just sits still. It moves. It creates. It influences. It changes. It touches. And it impacts life. James 1 says, in verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word, not hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves." You see, faith is action. Faith is the word in action. And he says, be doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving yourselves, because you can come in here every week and hear the word and not do anything with it, and you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You got religion, and that's what religion is. Hearing the word and not doing the word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking in the mirror. And as soon as he walks away from the mirror, he forgets what kind of man he was. He doesn't say he forgets what he looks like. He says he forgets what kind of man he is. Because you see, he's not talking about the mirror that we look in to shave or do our hair. This is the mirror he's talking about. This is the mirror. That's why it says a man who's just a hearer and not a doer of the word is like one who looks in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what kind of man he was. You see, we look into this mirror to discover who we are and what kind of person we are, what kind of man or woman we are. And so this is the mirror he's speaking of, not the mirror we think of in the bathroom. And then he says in verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which means the whole law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Being obedient results in blessing. Blessing you and others. In John 13:17, we read these words. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know this word, blessed are you if you do it. Being obedient results in blessings. Blessings on you, and you blessing others. Because that's why he wants you to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. Because doers of the word not only are blessed, but they're blessings to others. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But if someone will say to you, if someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Let's look at that for a minute. Faith without works is dead. In other words, faith, hearing the word and not doing the word, is dead. Faith without works is dead. He says faith by itself does not have works is dead. And if someone says to you, well, you have faith, but I have works. You know what that person has? See, this works both ways. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith is dead. Because works without faith is nothing but religion. It's just doing things. You see, they go together. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is just religion, and it's dead. They go together. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. He says, you say you got faith, I got works. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith results in action. In doing the word. So what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, if we go to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to see what faith with works looks like. Beginning in verse 43. Here's a challenge. I guarantee you this will challenge you. You have heard it said... Well, let me get to 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, everybody's got that down pat, right? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect, meaning complete or whole or mature. And basically what verse 48 is saying is, imitate God. Imitate God. You see, if you just greet your friends, if you just greet fellow Christians, what good is that? Anybody can do that. But what about greeting a stranger on the street or in the grocery store? What about if you see somebody and there's obviously something wrong there? Do you go and say, hey, are you okay? Can I pray for you? You know, it was interesting. I pulled in the grocery store last night late. And as I pulled in the parking space, there's a lady in the car in front, or yesterday afternoon, in front of me. And so I don't know why I noticed her. She's obviously upset. She was crying. I think she had her phone down because I could see she was talking. And so I got out and I walked up the car. Her passenger side was down and I said, "Are you okay?" And she says, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "Can I pray with you?" And he said, "No, I'm good. I'm good." So, you know, I just did what the Lord told me to do. But you see, that's not easy to do. You have to be obedient. You have to be a doer of the word. It's not easy. I didn't really want to do it, honestly. You see, it doesn't matter what we want to do. What does the mirror show us? See, what does the mirror show us? Love your neighbor, hate your enemies. That's easy. That comes natural. Comes with the flesh. But Jesus says, I tell you this. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, some of you are thinking, that doesn't make a bit of sense. No, not to our pea brains, it doesn't. But in God's kingdom, it makes perfect sense because that's how He operates. That's how He operated with you and me while we were still heathens before we were saved. When you're not saved, when you don't know Jesus, you're an enemy of God. The Scripture says it. Well, while I was an enemy of God, you know what He did for me? He died for me, number one. But He loved me. God the Father loved me while I was still an enemy of His. And so He says, the previous verse said, or the other passage said, imitate God. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It means imitate Him. And so we're to imitate Him. If He loved you, and He still loves you when you're unlovable, because just because you're saved doesn't mean you're always lovable. But He still loves you. He still loves you. That's why He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who curse you. And spitefully use you. Can you pray for those you can't stand? That's what He's saying. The person that you can't stand is the one you need to pray for the most. Why? Not for them, for you. For me. Because the one I can't stand the most, when I can pray for them, then God's doing something in me that He needs to do. That He needs to do. Colossians chapter 3. Tells us kind of what we need to do to be doers of the word. To have action in our faith. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off. See, we have to put off some things. And we have to put on some things. Put off. Now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Everybody's good with that, right? Well, the next verse says, do not lie to one another. See, God's got all these gotcha things in the Bible. We think we got it, and He says, no, I gotcha. You yourselves put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man, the old self, with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge, according to the image of Him who created him. There's that word image. Speaking of the mirror, look into this mirror. This is the image you need to see in yourself. So we put off these things. But then we have to put on something. In verse 12, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, hello, you need to hear this, you also must do. Now everybody's got that mastered, right? Do not lie. You see, he says we have all these things, but put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called to in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Above all, put on love. That's why we have to look in this mirror. That's why we have to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. That's why we have to put off the old man and put on the new through Jesus. That's Jesus. We have to put off self. We have to take off self. We have to give up self. You see, there's something interesting he says here. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. You see, that's the problem with people that refuse to forgive. But Pastor, you don't know. Yes, I do. And it doesn't say, depending on what the situation is, forgive. He says, if Jesus has forgiven you, he doesn't say you should. It says, so you also must do. Everyone know what must do means? It's an imperative. There's no option. There's no plan B. You must forgive. If you've been forgiven, you must forgive. But Pastor, you don't know. It doesn't matter what I don't know. It matters what I do know, and what I do know is what he said. He says you must forgive. You must forgive. That's why I said faith is not easy. It takes faith to forgive. It takes faith in the God who has forgiven you to forgive. And he wants you to forgive so he can heal you. Because as long as you refuse to forgive, you're not going to get healed. Because unforgiveness festers the wound that's in you. It festers the wound. It keeps the poison there. And when you forgive, just as you've been forgiven, you start to drain the poison so the wound can heal. Faith is not easy, but it's what we're called to. You see, there's so many aspects of faith when you read this Bible. I mean, I could probably preach on faith for a year. I mean, it's unending, the aspects of faith in the Word. And then he says, put on all these things, above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. You see, when you put on love, which is the bond of his perfect love, the peace of God will rule in your heart. You'll have the peace of God because you'll have the love of God. The love of God brings the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, so which you also were called into one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, you can't do it without the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not just on Sunday. Just not 5 minutes in a devotional in the morning. Let it dwell in you. You know what that means? Let the word live in you. Let the word live in you. This word is living. It's not ink on a page. It's alive. And he wants it to be alive in us. Let it dwell, let it live in you richly. That means abundantly, fervently, passionately. Let the word dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To the Lord. With grace in your heart, that means thankfulness. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the God, to God the Father, through him. You see, there's a lot here. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when you're driving down the road and these people cut you off and look at you like it's your fault, is your word and your deed in the name of Jesus? It's confession time. Do you wave at them in the name of Jesus? Yeah, she says, well, I'll give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I guess a thumbs down is better than telling them where to go, huh? You see, faith is not easy. When we get down to the nitty-gritty and we want to apply it to our everyday lives, it's not easy, but you know what? It's doable because he says do it. He doesn't ask us to do anything that's impossible. He does the impossible. But he'll do the impossible in you and through you. If the word dwells in you. If it lives in you. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, once you put off the old and you put on the new, then you're ready to work out your salvation. And that's what this is about. That's what faith is about, is working out your salvation. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not working for salvation. It's working out your salvation. See, when you pray for your enemy and you love your enemies and you pray for those and bless those who curse you, you're working out your salvation. It's doing the word, not just hearing the word. Philippians 2:12. Says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God created you, God saved you, God calls you for his good pleasure. Not as a puppet on a string, but as his good pleasure in relationship with him and obedience to him. For it is God who works in you to will and to do good. No. You're not going to bless those when they cut you off in traffic and almost cause a wreck. But if he's working in you, his good work in you, you will be able to. You will be able to do those things. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Everybody's got that down, right?
Yeah.
Do not lie to one another. Where was that at? Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, your light's not shining. Your light's not shining. That you become blameless, faultless in a generation that's perverse, that you will shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I'm giving you some extra here because you just can't stop where I gave the outline. Holding fast to the word of life. This is the word of life. This is life. This word is life. It gives life. Holding fast to the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. See, he doesn't want us laboring in vain. When we hold fast to the word of God, when we have the word of God hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against him, then all these things can be true in our lives. And faith can be strong. It can be mature, and it can be growing, and it can be fruitful. Not just in your life, but in the lives of others around you. Because you see, this was God's plan. He saved us so that through us, our testimony and our witness to him, others might be brought to him. That's his plan. He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. Once he reconciles you to God through faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have now a ministry of reconciliation of bringing others to him. That's faith. That's faith. And that's not easy. It's not easy to walk up to a stranger and say, "Are you okay? Or is everything all right? Can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you about?" Sometimes they'll say no. But you'll be amazed at how many times they'll say yes. Or they'll just break down and start pouring out. And then you have an opportunity to give them Jesus. To show them Jesus. To be Jesus to them. By your testimony, by your witness, by your words. The word. You see, faith is not easy, but faith is what we're called to, and faith is what we're to live by. When we live by faith, when we have faith with works, then it's alive. Because faith without works is dead. But just remember, if you're just running on works, and you're just doing things for God, that's just as dead as faith without works, because works without faith is dead. What do I mean by that? We do a lot of works that God doesn't call us to do. A lot of people get involved and go do things, try to start a business or try to go do this or that, and God didn't tell you to do that. And you struggle or stumble and you wonder, "God, I'm doing this for you." No, you're not. You're doing it for you. You're doing it for me. You see, when we have faith and we do what God calls us to do, that's faith with works, doing what he calls us to do. Doing what we want to do is just religion. God wants us to have faith to do what he calls us to do. And that's when it means faith without works is dead. Because if you just have faith, "Well, I believe in God." It's like the example of the woman. If they came and they're naked, they need clothes, they need food or whatever, and you say, "Oh, bless you, I'm going to pray for you. You go and be warm." Really? No, you take your coat off and you put it around them and say, "Get warm. Let me get you something to eat. You see, faith is not easy because oftentimes faith causes us to have to get out of our comfort zone or sacrifice some of our time, our stuff, or things, or change our agenda, or change our plans. That's what faith does. That's what God does. We got the plan, but He changes it. And He can change it on a dime. And if we're in the Word and the Word's dwelling in us, then we'll respond to Him. We'll be obedient to Him. Let's pray. Faith without works is dead. Is your faith stagnant? Is your faith active? Is your faith moving, believing, doing according to what He calls you to do? Are you looking in the mirror, His mirror, and not turning away and forgetting what kind of person you are? Because you see, the purpose of looking into His mirror is to get you to move you into His image. He's created us in His image. We have to put off the old, put on the new, so that we can reflect His image. And it takes faith to do that. It takes living, active faith to do that. Lord, I pray today in the name of Jesus that faith in this church, faith in this room would be living and active. That it would be moving, changing, influencing, impacting, maturing, growing, strengthening, and making a difference in the lives of the people who have it and in the lives of people they come in contact with. God, help us not to be just hearers of the Word, but to be doers of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.